Yeah, well, good morning, everybody. It's really, really delightful to be here with you and to share with you today. And I will be talking about joining God in His mission. And this is not something that I think will be any surprise to you. Just listening to your prayer just now, it's evident your church is a very missional church. And of course, you've got this as your mission month. I was delighted to see the little postcards that you've got showing the people that your church sends into cross-cultural mission and how you can participate with them. So this is just a beautiful way that you can engage through Mission Munch. I'm not hungry. Maybe lunch is coming, but Mission Month here at your church. So I do want to share about what is God's mission? And how do we join God in His mission? These might be terms that you're quite familiar with, or it might be a new way of thinking about how God is active in our world. But we'll just go on a bit of a journey. And through that, I'll also share some stories near the end of that time about how SIL participates in God's mission. And I'll invite David and Wendy to come and share a little part of their history of how they have been part of God's mission as well. Now, as we mentioned, Karen and I serve with Wycliffe Bible Translators, or we are part of Wycliffe Bible Translators, and we serve with SIL as our ministry. And we serve like that, and then David and Wendy are here as part of your church and are sent as part of your Go team. So are Peter and Raywin. Are Peter and Raywin here? Tonight, they'll be here tonight. So they are also part of your Go team that also serve with SIL. And then Christine Brody is here, sitting with David and Wendy and Karen. And Christine serves with our SIL staff too. So you've got quite a presence here within your church that you can ask questions later and you can say, hey, what was he talking about? You've got a number of people you can follow up with in your church, which is fantastic. So I was recently in Jakarta, and had the pleasure of being part of this summit, which was, it's called Arise Asia. And it was a summit coming together of, I was going to say mostly young people, but probably wasn't mostly young people. It was focused on young people, particularly Gen Z, which is sort of the, 15 to 28-year-old, something in that range now. It was focused on Gen Z. But it was also mission leaders sort of talking together, how can we connect well with the younger generation? And at my little, I had little table groups at these sorts of conferences. And at my table group was this young man. He's the one on the right. And he is from, I won't name his country because it's a bit sensitive, but he was happy for me to share his photo with the church. And he comes from a place in Asia that I've never met someone from before, very oppressive to Christianity. The majority of religion is very, very strong. And he was telling me part of his story. And he moved from the capital city in his country, moved out to a small town, and he's a teacher. And so he's been allocated out to this small town. And he said, in my small town, as far as I know, there's maybe two or three others who know Jesus. That's it in the whole this whole region of the country that he's now in. And he said, I just want to be equipped to know how can I share with other people around me who are in darkness, how can I share with them about following Jesus? And I was so encouraged. And he prayed for me. And I was able to pray for him. And it was just an encouraging moment to see how God is raising up people from everywhere to serve everywhere within your own country, within people who don't know the Lord, or could be across borders and somewhere else. So anyway, I was just really encouraged, thinking about mission. What's God doing in the world to come across this young man recently in a place that's very oppressive, and he just wants to tell other people the good news about Jesus. So it was very, very encouraging to hear. So what is God's mission? As we look at the scripture, you start at the one cover, you open up and you see the creation story and you go right through to the other cover. Now, I realise that I'm talking about covers and I've got a digital Bible here, and probably many of you are the same, but you understand what I mean, right? You start at the beginning and you go to the end. What is the story that we're told about God? What is he doing in the world? What does he tell us about himself? And as we open the Bible, we have this story of how God in his Father, Son, and Spirit together, and the reading we had this morning from John 1 expresses that so well, doesn't it? In the beginning, that the Son was there, the Word was there, and he was with God, he was God, he is God. And as we open Scripture, we have this scene of God in community in a way that we struggle to understand. Out of his love, he made creation. And he wants to have a relationship with his creation, particularly the people, because they're made in his image, Scripture tells us. And we have this wonderful opening of God at work, God creating this amazing creation that we see around us, including all of us, particularly all of us, because we're the ones made in his image. And out of his love, and he wants relationship with us. And then, of course, we know the story of sin, how sin comes into the world and that relationship is broken. And then there's the Scripture unfolds about how restoration is possible. And that big story that culminates at the end of being present with God for eternity. That's the big story, isn't it, of Scripture? Well, the passage that you see on the screen is one passage that we can look at that sort of tells the big story of God's work in the world quite succinctly in just a few verses. So let me read Colossians 1:15-20. It says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." What an amazing passage that tells about God's activity in the world and the place of Christ, his Son, in all of that. How that he was part of creation, but not just part of creation. After sin came into the world, then, of course, God had this plan that he would reconcile his creation to himself. And how would he do that? But through the death of his only Son, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in verse 20, through him to reconcile to himself all things. Isn't that amazing? All things will be reconciled to the Father only through the Son, whether things on earth or in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is when we talk about God's mission, or sometimes we make it sound a little fancy in Latin and call it Missio Dei, it's God's mission. When we talk about God's mission, this is what we mean. God's activity in his world, and how that, in essence, God's mission is how that he wants to reconcile all of his creation to himself. That's God's mission, reconciling creation to himself. You can just see a father with his arms open wide, wanting to reconcile his creation and gather his creation, particularly us, made in his image, reconciling people to himself. That's the mission of God. So you can test each other later. What's the mission of God? And hopefully you'll have an answer to that now. And of course, this is the gospel message, isn't it? This is the essence of what the gospel message is all about, that we are stuck in our sin. We have wandered away from God. We've gone our own way. But God has a way that we can be reconciled to him because of the death and the finished work of Christ on the cross. We can be made right with God and have that relationship of love again with God, and to be reconciled to him and to have eternity with God, to be redeemed. That's the gospel message. That's what God's mission is all about. So if that's God's mission, that's important to understand. We want to know what God's mission is. And what's our part? So if we say, sounds a little lofty, maybe, we can join God's mission. How can we join God's mission? Sounds a little lofty, but is it possible? Can we join with what God is doing in his mission? Well, I'm glad you asked that because indeed, we have some answers in Scripture. And you know, one thing I want to say before I read the verse that is, you can see on the screen. Sometimes we might have this academic understanding of, yes, of course, God's got a mission. Yes, of course, God's active in the world. Yes, God wants to bring reconciliation. He wants people to be saved. He wants to gather people to himself because he created them in his image. He wants to reconcile them, right? We can have that academic understanding and then say, and that's what we've got the GO team for, because they can be the ones to make sure that our church is doing its part in God's mission. You see what I'm saying? Or you can say, oh, it's so good that we've got a pastoral team because now we've got a team that can make sure that our mission as a church is fulfilled. And so we can happily, you know, we can come to church and be fed and trust that our pastoral team and the GO team are going to be able to do God's mission for us. There's a flaw in this argument because we can't outsource what God is calling us to do. It's not something we can outsource to somebody else and say, well, that's your part. My part is just to show up and enjoy the service and have a good life. And then the pastoral team and the GO team or those we support on mission or someone else, it's their part to join God in his mission. No, that's not how it is at all. And there's a few verses I'll share, but this is one of them that really expresses what our mission is. Jesus said in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, this was in one of those amazing moments. Now, Jesus has been crucified. He's raised again. His followers are locked in that upper room. They're feeling pretty vulnerable and pretty frightened. And then Jesus shows up. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Wow. So not just the words are powerful, but the context is also powerful. Jesus has just been crucified and raised back up to life. These disciples, these followers of his have been witness to all of this. They've seen it all unfolding. Now they're afraid and hiding, and Jesus shows up and says, don't be afraid, but hey, what the Father just sent me to do, I'm going to send you. Now, I'm not sure about you. It's a little daunting having witnessed what Jesus has just been through. It is a little daunting for Jesus to say, just as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. So you can understand it's not going to be necessarily an easy task. It's not just about having a fun life and enjoying yourself. There's going to be tough times because that was Jesus' experience, absolutely. So it is heavy. There's a weight to this that the disciples would have understood. That yes, part of this calling, part of this mission might not be an easy thing, but that's what Jesus is calling us to. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. So you might say from John 20:21, well, whew, that was the 12. That's a relief. It's not actually me here today in Melbourne that Jesus might be talking to. Well, let me share something else with you. If we back up to John 17, this is an amazing prayer. The whole of chapter 17 is just an amazing prayer where Jesus is coming before the Father and just praying for his followers. But he's actually not just praying for his followers. He says explicitly in verse 20, that I'm not just praying for these, but I'm praying for all of those that will follow because of them. All of those that will follow me because of them. So Jesus' prayer in John 17 is also for us. If you're a follower of Jesus today, Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me in John chapter 17. And this is what he says, praying to his Father. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So we are included in that. We are being sent into the world. So what does this What does this sentness mean? So we've established that God is a God of mission. God is reconciling creation to himself. He's reconciling his image bearers, his people. He wants to reconcile them to himself, right? We've established that. We've established that as the Father sent the Son, he sent his disciples, and by extension, all of us. If we are followers of Jesus, we are being sent. So what does this sentness actually mean? Let's go to Matthew 28. These are all well-known passages I'm referring to here. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What I want you to understand from this really well-known passage that we call the Great Commission, Jesus didn't call it that. It's one of the references that editors have added. It's a good one. But what I want you to take from this today is the fact that the emphasis is on making disciples. So as you go and make disciples, this is what I want you to do. Emphasis is on making disciples. And that disciple-making process is a relational process. So Jesus is talking about being in relationship with people around you. As you go and make disciples, this is what you'll do. You'll baptize them and so on. And the other thing I want you to know, note from the end of this passage is Jesus' promise that he's with us. He says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So there's a beautiful relational aspect to this passage that sometimes we miss. Sometimes we sort of hear the go, I've got to go. And that's true. People are, we can't make disciples if you sit, well, maybe you can actually. You could do that very well from a coffee shop or something like that. Maybe from your own home as people visit or you make calls to people. So sometimes the emphasis is on the go, but Jesus is really talking about the relational aspect of making disciples and that he will be with us in that process. It's a beautiful promise. So just as the Father sent the Son sends us. He doesn't send us on our own. He's going to be with us. Of course, he's indwelling us through his Holy Spirit if we are followers of Jesus. So sometimes we, particularly in the Western world, we have a notion that we want to make something into a program and a project. And programs and projects are wonderful. But Matthew 28 is not about a program or a project. Matthew 28 is about relationships, of building relationships with people so they can be come to know Jesus and deepen their relationship with Jesus. So this is about Jesus being present with us. That's what our mission is about, as we are present with those around us. It's our presence. It's that relationship of being with people that's so valuable and so difficult today, because there's so many competing things for our time and attention, aren't there? So many things going on. Just to be with someone, to spend time with them and to point them to Jesus, to deepen their relationship or to grow together. Because as Jesus is with us, we want to be present with those around us as well. All right, I need to move on. One more scripture. This is in Acts 1, so just before Jesus ascends to heaven. After his time with his disciples, he says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now we might go, oh, that's good. I'm not in Jerusalem or Judea, so I'm here in Melbourne, so it's not apply. Well, you know, the ends of the earth, from a Jerusalem perspective, the ends of the earth is a point somewhere northeast of New Zealand, I think. So we're kind of close to the ends of the earth. So does that mean we're off the hook? Well, no, it's not actually talking about geography, is it? It's really talking about the fact that we will be his witnesses. What does a witness do? A witness tells the truth about something that's happened. So we are Jesus' witnesses. We just tell the truth. Just be faithful. Tell the truth of what Jesus has done in your life, just to be his witnesses wherever you go. and we have the Holy Spirit's power to enable us to do that. One of my favourite... Oops, I went too far. Can we go back one, please? I'd try it, but I'd probably mess something up. One of my favourite writers is Christopher J.H. Wright. You may have read his book called The Mission of God's People, or The Mission of God. They're two different books. But this is a quote from The Mission of God's People. He says, "We find that an essential part of the mission of God's people is nothing other than to be what they are by living out the holiness of God in practical everyday living. Mission is not something that happens when you go somewhere else. It starts in your own home and neighborhood. That is where we are called to be holy." It's a good quote. It picks up a lot of this essence that we've been gathering from Scripture today, that it is our own life lived in holiness that draws other people. It's just being present with others wherever we are. And sometimes people, we might be called to go across the street. We might be called to go to the shops and talk to someone, to go to school, to university, or we might be called to go to the other side of the world. It's the posture that we take of wanting to be that messenger, wanting to be that witness of Jesus, of recognizing our mission. Whatever age or workplace or stage of life that you're in, we are His witnesses, called to be on mission with God. And that's a posture that we can take. So, joining God in His mission is about starting with your family, your co-workers, your fellow students, your neighborhood. It's being on mission with God wherever He's placed you. That might be right here. Or it might be that for some of you, God is laying on your heart, calling you to go somewhere else, to a different city, to a different country, across cultural boundaries. And that could be right here in Melbourne, can't it? Across cultural boundaries might just be the neighbourhood, the house next door, across the street. Or it could be around the world. And it's that following the posture, recognising that we are on mission with God and following Him wherever He leads us. So, gapo iti kaste unai apanagayati jus iti lubong, intet na ti bugtong na anakna. Tapno ti siya sinoman, amamati ken kwana sa anamatay no diket agbiag na agnayneon. Itayim ti ima no maawatan mo? Adakadi makaawat? Nasaya at daytoy a mensahe. You don't seem to be getting it. I'm telling you a really good message. I'm telling you the good news. That was John 3:16 in Ilocano. Nobody was taking it in, though. I didn't see one hand go up, so there can't be any. We're a bit light on the Filipinos, or at least the northern Filipinos here today, I guess. That's what it's like for a lot of the world if we are preaching God's word in a language they don't understand. That was John 3:16. It's powerful scripture. But it wasn't in a language that you understood. So it's not very helpful, is it? A lot of the world is in that situation. And so SIL, Wycliffe Bible Translators, in partnership with SIL, we are really concerned about exactly that, that people can be reached in languages of their best understanding, usually the language they grow up speaking in their home, that they can have access to Scripture in that in those languages. Sometimes there's more than one. And they can also have access to other services like education. Because sometimes the experience you just had then is also true of people of minority languages when they go to school. They're confronted with a language they don't understand in order to learn in. Can you imagine? Has anyone here had that experience? I don't see any hands. But someone at the back. So it's happening in a lot of places in the world today. And so we are passionate about helping communities, particularly of the minority language-speaking communities around the world, have access to God's word and access to the broader resources in the world to enable them to flourish in the ways that God intends. So I'd like to invite David and Wendy to come up and just to share a little bit of how they've been involved in God's mission. And then I'll tell one more story and then we'll bring it to a close. So thanks, David and Wendy.
So many of you will be aware that that Wendy and I have been involved in mission through Bible translation and language development work. So we worked in a number of countries in the Pacific and mostly in Vanuatu, about 10 years in Vanuatu. And this picture coming up will show us working together with the translation team that was in a particular language there at a small training event where we were training some of the younger people to understand about translation principles. At that time, we were working on the translation of the Gospel of Matthew, and together we translated quite a number of books of the Bible. And we also studied the sound system to devise an alphabet so that we could print and write the text. And we studied the grammar too. And neither of those, the phonology or the grammar, had been described before. So these people had all had to go do their education in either French or English, even though they regularly spoke the South Afate language. And seeing that picture as we looked at it brought back great memories, some joys and challenges. There was the thrill of working together with these folk. We grappled with how to translate some of the biblical concepts into a language and a culture that doesn't have those concepts. Words like disciple and priest and temple and angels. And just talking about how those could be rendered in a different language and things like sheep and other cultural elements that part of the scripture. We saw local people come to a new and deep understanding of God's word as they understood the truth of scripture communicated in a language that actually connected deeply to them and not someone else's language that they'd learnt. And so we too gained incredible insights about God as we witnessed their faith and shared with them in that. So that was thrilling, but it was also very hard in many ways because it was pre-internet. We had to miss out on quite a few family activities, well away from our own families. And language learning is really hard for us. Some people love it. We don't find it all that enjoyable. It's difficult. And living in another cultural setting, not just being a tourist there, but actually living and bringing up our boys can be both frustrating but also an incredible adventure as well. So nowadays we're putting those experiences into leadership and training, and Wendy will share a bit about that.
As you heard before, David works with Jason's team in leadership for the Asia Pacific area. And he also does some teaching at SIL Australia out at Kangaroo Ground. And that's where I work. I'm on the leadership team with SIL Australia. And I'm also the academic administrator for the training program that we run there. So I manage accreditation requirements and relate to our accreditation partner. And a particular role is connecting closely with students and managing applications and enrolments and helping them make choices about the subjects and the courses that will equip them to work in language projects in the future, either with SIL or with other organisations. Just this past week, I spent time with a young woman, one of our students who's in her mid-20s, and she's trying to decide what study options will best equip her for a future role, which is as yet unknown. The fact is that she's good at all of her studies, and she has a number of options open to her. She could take training that leads towards working actually in Bible translation, like we were doing in Vanuatu, or in literacy and education, where she could work with local people, help develop vernacular literacy programs, create reading materials. Or she could even work in scripture engagement, helping local people develop ways of studying the translated scriptures and creating materials for discipling in their churches. And there are many other roles as well. But all of these are ministry options in SIL, and as we walk alongside individuals and communities who want to engage with God in the languages that are most meaningful for them.
Great, thanks. Thanks, David and Wendy. Lovely to hear a little of their story. That was a bit of a teaser. So if you'd like to know more about David and Wendy's story, please speak to them afterwards. So Wendy talked about a whole range of activities that people could be involved with. And I want to just tell you one brief story before I finish about a man named Empson. And next slide. He wanted to be... He learnt about Jesus. He had scripture in his own language. And by the way, this is again something you can talk to David and Wendy or us about later. There's over 800 languages still without written scripture in their language around the world. So there's still over 800 of languages that we think are viable and still being used. Now, Emerson's language, he's in Papua New Guinea and in the mountains just around Lae, somewhere in that area. I visited him and had the privilege of sitting in that little hut. I took a photo inside, but it's so grainy and dark. I use this photo outside. This is Empson. And he was telling me the story of how he received the good news about Jesus, and he just wanted to share that with other communities around him. And so he would hike to other villages with a team that would help to engage communities with God's word. And they got to this other particular village, and they wanted to have some kind of a celebration of giving thanksgiving to God. And they were going, well, how do we do that? And, oh, we want to honour God. And so they were talking about, well, but if we honour God, what about the other spirits? Like, what's the role of the other spirits that we fear in this community? And so Empson felt like he needed to make a stand. And he tells this story of the Yarrat tree. It's a tree just outside, it grows in the forest. And this particular Yarrat tree is where the villagers know the spirits dwell. So you never touch the Yarrat tree. If you knock a branch off or you cut something off a tree, you're going to bring disaster, usually in the form of a thunderstorm and floods that is really damaging and can kill people. And so when they were thinking about, well, how do we want to celebrate God, Empson said, well, let's cut down the Yarrat tree. Let's make a platform out of the wood, and that'll be where we're going to give thanksgiving to God. And people were, oh, you're not going to touch the Yarrat tree. And so they talked about it, and they looked at Scripture, and they saw how, well, there's the story of creation. God created everything. Look at the story of how Jesus calmed the storm. Jesus is in charge of the weather that we're so fearful of. And so they did. They cut down the Yarrat tree, and they built a platform. And then they had a Thanksgiving service there. And that night, everyone was watching. What's going to happen? It was rainy season, so they'd expect some rain, but they were fearful of this really damaging storm and floods. But it was the calmest night. The stars were out and there was nothing. And so they just praised God together. That, oh, God does indeed have power over the spirits. So this is just a little story that illustrates a person's desire to join God on his mission and to bring the message of Jesus to the next village. And we can all be part of that too. Now, I don't know whether what God has on your heart, how to participate. You've been challenged to participate, haven't you, in mission this month. How will you participate? Through prayer, through connecting with some of those that your church supports, or through giving in some way. Maybe God has laid on some of your hearts to participate long-term, to be part of an organisation like SIL. And to participate that way, that would be wonderful. But however God is calling you to participate, I just encourage you to step out in faith and to join God in his mission, however he calls you to do that. Let me pray for you. Father God, we just thank you that you are a God of mission. We just praise you, Father, that you don't set us off. You didn't create us and then just sort of set us off and let us do what we wished. But you continue to engage with us. In fact, you sent your Son, who is fully God and fully man, to live life, to show us who God is by living among us, Jesus Christ. And yet he lived his perfect life and then he died in our place, because that's what's in your heart. You are a missional God. You want to bring and to reconcile people to yourself. Father, we thank you that you are a God of mission, and we thank you that you have invited us to join you in your mission, that you have sent us in the same way the Father sent you, the Lord Jesus. You have sent us into the mission, into your mission as well. Father, I pray as we consider this, each of us in our hearts, how you would have us to participate. It's not optional, as we see from Scripture. We are all sent by you to witness to you whatever occasion you bring along for us, to share the truth of our story, of what you have done in our lives through acts of love, through ways we love neighbours and friends and family and people around us. Lord, however you are calling us to participate, I pray that each of us would have the courage to step up and to engage in prayer, to engage in conversations with people, to engage through giving or to engage through going. And Father, I just pray for this church. Thank you for their missional heart here, your church here. And I pray that you would bless them richly for that and increase your church, grow your church here through their very mission-minded challenge that they've got happening through this mission month. So we ask this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.